which one of them appears first? We know that Luke was written last, but between Matthew and Mark, which one of them was the first one? But you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and if you put them alongside each other, you discover a lot of similarity in stories. Occasionally, there's a different story in one of them than in another one, but they are very, very similar. And the purpose behind the Synoptic Gospels was to try to tell the story of Jesus as the Son of Man. They wanted to make sure that you understood the human side of this God-man. They wanted you to understand, they wanted us to understand that Jesus came to live among us as a human being and suffered and died as a human being. John is different, much different. It was a few years ago that I taught through the Gospel of Luke, and I knew I wanted to come back to the Gospels sometime again, and I went back and forth, but I decided I wanted to do John just because of how different John is. The words "God became flesh and dwelt among us" is a key to the way John is going to write his book. He wants us to understand that Jesus was the Son of God. And that title, which we are used to hearing, he wants us to make sure we understand what that means. So all the way through this book, he puts in context the idea of who Jesus was as God. At the end of the book, right towards the tail end, one chapter left, at the end of John 20, he writes these words. He said, Jesus did many other signs. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So I just took the phrase, so that you might believe, or you may believe, and used that for kind of the series, what this series is all about. And the word signs is a significant word, signs significant, because what happens throughout this book is John keeps coming back to signs, showing over and over again, do you see as a result of this who Jesus is? Yes, he is human, but he's much, much more than human. He is God in flesh. And that particular issue is an important part of understanding what the Gospel of John is all about. I hope that what you'll do is read the sections of John that we're going to be teaching on the following week. What my goal is to put in the calendar the next week's message, where it's coming from. And so I can tell you now that next week we'll finish up the first chapter of John. So if you read from at the end of verse 18, verse 19 to the end of the chapter, that's what we're kind of going to do. We're not going to do a verse-by-verse exposition. That would take years, and I don't know I'll be around that long. So we're going to take it in chunks. We're going to take narrative stories and take those stories and bring them out as a whole and teach our way through this book so that we can understand it. As John begins this morning, then I'm going to just launch into these first 18 verses, and he gives us four reasons why we should believe that Jesus is God among us. He tells us that Jesus is eternal, first of all. He tells us he's the creator. He tells us he's life and light. And he tells us that he became human so that we might see who God is, what God is like. He is eternal. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. The significance of the opening is important. Matthew and Luke begin with narratives about the birth of Jesus. Remember? In Matthew, you have a whole list of genealogy followed by God appearing to Joseph after Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant with a child and she's supposed to be his betrothed to him. And that whole narrative there then turns into the visit of the wise men in chapter 2. So that's a big way Matthew begins. Luke begins with the visitation of the angel Gabriel to first the father of John the Baptist and then eventually to Mary as he explains to them what's about to happen. And that's how Luke begins. Mark is different in that Mark just begins when Jesus begins ministry at age 30. Skips the entire whole process. John goes all the way back to Genesis. John says, Genesis begins, the Bible begins with the words "in the beginning." official city. It would be like in the United States, it would be a city like Chicago, or a city like Atlanta, or a city like, not the biggest city, but an important, crucial city in the context of the Roman Empire itself. It had a huge library. It was known as the seat of Greek philosophy. And this library that was there was all full of philosophical treatises from famous Greek philosophers. Some 35,000 scrolls were in that city, all written from the Greek philosophers. And the Greeks used the word logos all the time. To the Greeks, logos was a principle. It was the way in which you explain how the universe exists. For them, the logos was the way in which you could study and understand reason and causation and words that have to do with why are we here and where are we going and what is this all about. So they philosophized, if that's the right word or not, but they exercised a great deal of time in their philosophy talking about the logos as the reasoning that causes us to understand life itself too. So you would think that when John began to write, they would applaud the idea of in the beginning was the word, the logos. Because in the beginning was this principle for the universe. But that's not what happens. Because John doesn't call it a principle. It doesn't call it an idea. Doesn't call it a source of reason. He says it's a person. He. So we go back to the verse. In the beginning, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Not an idea, not a philosophy, not a principle, not a reasoned way of understanding, but a revelation. A revelation by God Almighty of who he is and what he did. So, secondly, Jesus is creator. He is creator. He's not only eternal, because in the beginning, before anything was made, he was there, but he is also the creator of everything in the beginning. So we go back to the verse again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We finished our trip, and we were over there. At one particular point, we had gone across to France. I wanted to see the D-Day beaches, Omaha Beach, and we spent a couple of days, Linda allowing me to revisit my World War II desire to understand more about it, etc. We stayed overnight in a B&B, and the guy who we stayed with was English. His wife was French. He spoke immaculate French, etc. But, you meet somebody for the first time, and they invariably have the same kinds of questions, right? You go out and you find somebody that's brand new and they're introducing it. And what are the questions that, well, what is your name? And he knew my name was Elliot because of that. What he really wanted to know was, how do you pronounce that last name? Polash. Like, everybody slaughters that. Most people, I listen to it, and it's Polash and Polash and all sorts of stuff, But so I'm often correcting that. Well, no, it's say Polash. It's like that. So what's your name? Where are you from? Now, when a European asks you where you're from, you can't say Randolph. Because at that point, you might as well say Timbuktu. Where is that? So I always tell people, well, I'm from Wisconsin. And in case you forgot, that's about 2 hours north of, I live about 2 hours north of Chicago. Now, most people know where Chicago is. It's at that point that I often get people nodding their head, oh, okay, I know where you live now, So who are you and where are you from? And then the invariable question that sometimes follows is, what do you do? When he asked me that, my answer was, I'm a professional football player. No, I'm a pastor. So I told him that. Okay, all right, great. So we met, kind of get to know each other and that sort of thing. So what John is doing is he is opening this up by saying this, well, first of all, what is your name? Your name is the Word. Yes, your name, we're going to find out, is Jesus. But you are the very Word of God in the beginning with God. And where are you from? Eternity. suppose existed before creation? And the answer, according to Scripture, is nothing. Nothing. God existed, and wherever God in the Trinity was at and whatever they were doing at that particular time, but there was no universe. There was nothing that existed. And so the Word of God spoke all of that into creation, into the beginning. And you understand the importance of that is, for me, going back to something as simple as this picture that I'll put up, that Michael put up now. How many of you have ever solved that? Raise your hand and lie if you really dare to. You know? No, really, how many of you solved it? You've solved it. Wow. It takes brains, you know. I got close, and I got lost. Then I got close, and I got lost again. I know this. The guy who taught me about it, solving it, said, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to start right. You have to begin right. Well, what is that? You have to begin with the whites. You have to begin with the white spaces. That's how you begin. Now, from what I can see, it might be that you could begin with some other color, but his insistence when you got to begin that. John is trying to make a point that's a bit like, how do you solve the Rubik's Cube? You have to begin right. If you're going to understand and understand divinity in humanity, if you're going to understand the idea of God in flesh, if you're going to understand the idea of why would God come among us, why would God live with us, you have to start right. And he says that is in creation. But then it asks the question, well, then who is God? Where did he come from? Self-existing, eternal, the scripture talks about it. When Moses was in the wilderness, God called him to become the source of deliverance for the children of Israel. A burning bush and a voice from the bush, this is holy ground, take off your shoes. And the bush announcing voice-wise, speaking, God's word is the key of revelation. Revelation is the key behind how God's existence is portrayed to us. It's always by revealing through spoken word. And he says to him, and eventually Moses said, but if I go back to people and tell them that you spoke to me and you told me that I was going to do this, how shall I tell them who you are? And God says, and he asked him, what's your name? What shall I say? And God says to him, I am. Now, I know it says, I am who I am. But literally in the Hebrew text, the words is Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. Yahweh, Yahweh, I am, I am. That's what you tell them. Tell them that I am has sent you. Because I am means that everything about the universe, everything that can be explained about humankind, everything that can be explained about the world, everything that can be explained about galaxies and universes and rotations and revolutions and all of that is encompassed under that one simple word, I am. I am the reason for all of that. Later on in John, the Jews look at Jesus at one particular point. He had said, Abraham rejoiced to see the day that when I was appeared to him. You're not even 50 years old, and you say you've seen Abraham? And Jesus said to him, yeah, the truth is, I'll say it to you. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, when we get to that story, at that particular point, they pick up stones. They're going to stone him because he's claiming to be God, John says. But that's the key, the I am. We don't, I don't try list the words in their Bible that are in this first beginning. The Word was with God, the Son was with God, and the Son was from God. Subtle. Very subtle. But what they don't translate is what John writes in the Greek text, which was the Word was God. So while you might not know all the apologetics and what to say, I think one question you often just look at them and say, do you believe that Jesus was God? Now, you'll often get them saying, oh, yes, yes, yes. But what they'll say, what they're saying is they believe he was the Son of God, the firstborn created of God. So I often ask a question after that. It's like, well, then you believe that Jesus was the same as God? No. Not. That's the difference. That's the key. Jesus is eternal. Jesus is creator. Jesus, number three, is life and light. In him was life, verse 4 says, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We're still back in creation. You remember creation? Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what did he do? He created the lights. You know, the galaxies came into being, the moon, the sun, the stars, the universes, all the galaxies, etc., that lit up the sky. He created light. The lesser light at night, the greater light during the daytime. And in creation, he created life, vegetation, plants, the earth, the animals, and eventually human beings themselves too. Everything that flew in the air, everything that was in the sea, everything that went on the land. He created it all. Before that, there was nothing. Before that, what was there? There was no light. There was only darkness. Before that, there was not the light that shined into human beings' souls to give them the picture of who God was. As Adam and Eve walked around the garden, what they beheld was something that they had not created, not planted, not groomed, did nothing for, walked into this beautiful space that God had created by speaking it into existence. Amazing. He has come to us. Jesus came to us as life and light. Why? Why did God send him? Because sin ruined life and brought death. Sin ruined light and brought darkness. John goes on, there's a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. He goes on and he says, that true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. The question is always asked, well, okay, so why Jesus? Why are you Christians so hung up on declaring Jesus? Why not just simply say, hey, listen, there's one God. The Muslims believe in Allah. You guys believe in Jesus. Even the Hindus have a concept of a God and all that stuff. Why can't you just recognize that all these religions are one and the same? And again, I can tell you that that trend in Christianity is not going away, but actually is increasing over time. Christians themselves believe that. And then John comes along and he says, this true light is the light that gives light to everyone and came into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Why? Why don't people recognize Jesus? Why don't they get it? The curse of our sin is the darkness that covers our souls and our minds and stops us from seeing the truth of who he is. He came to his own and he says his own did not receive him. Chuck Swindoll, in writing one of his books, said, every modern house is connected to an electrical grid. It provides all the energy necessary to illumine every dark corner in the house. However, people living in these homes can choose to live in the dark. The light is available, but it isn't compulsory. The source of light has come into the world and has illumined all minds. However, many people choose to draw the shades and shun the light. And now that Christ has come, belief or unbelief is no longer a crisis of the intellect as if it ever was. Israel